Covered in Glory is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Covered in Glory. Brett, guess what I did with my day yesterday?
What did you do, Toby?
I did something super fun. I did career day at Breaker Woods Elementary School, where got to explain podcasting and media companies and my love of Chelsea to a bunch of very confused kindergartners and first graders, and slightly less confused third through fifth graders. But it was super awesome to get to talk to the kids, tell them what we do, and explain why I love my job so much. So it was a reminder that even though every single week I turn on the mic and I'm kind of dreading it because I'm afraid that I'm going to get all of my picks wrong, there's worse things that I can do in my life because I got to impress all of my kids' friends for at least one day.
Did you tell them to go home and tell their parents and 1,500 of their closest friends to like and subscribe to the podcast?
No, but I think if our numbers double this week, I know it's all kindergartners at Breaker Woods.
Nice. So yeah. We got to get the 6-year-olds getting the right bets down. Let's be honest here. So we're doing very good then if we're getting a lot of these kids going. So
responsible gaming people. He's just kidding. Don't write me.
Am I kidding, Toby?
Oh my God. We have to cut your mic. So I know what you did yesterday. You flew out for a vacation. So my gift to you was having you record a podcast, even though you are living up the sunny California lifestyle this week.
No, it was perfect out here in wonderful Redondo Beach with my cousin and her husband. So it's been a wonderful, relaxing day. The best part was I was walking the beach instead of watching the most pitiful Europa League matches possible, which if I was definitely at home and working, I would have had that on in the background and my life would have been worse for it. So I hope no one here watched Juventus and Sevilla because that probably ruined your life.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's better or worse than watching a Europa League match that didn't meet expectations. It's having a first grader tell you that Chelsea sucks and having no retort because he's right. He's right. He wins the argument. Chelsea does not suck. Well done, first grader.
You just say touche and you move on.
All right. Since you are on vacation and we got lots of stuff going on over here in the Mergler household, I think we should just jump right into it rather than doing a discussion question this week. What do you think?
Let's do it, especially because these games are not great.
not great, Bob. But hey, every week we say the same thing. That's why they invented gambling. All right, so let's just dive right into it. Let's start at Aston Villa, 8th at 54 points versus Tottenham, 6th at 57 points. This game is Saturday at 10 a.m. Villa is plus 120. Villa is favored in this matchup. Spurs are plus 210. The draw is plus 250. Villa minus half a goal is plus 110. And the Spurs are minus 140 on the double chance. So, Brett, for me, it looks like Villa is starting to revert to the mean a little bit. You've been talking a lot about that on the show, like they were flying a little bit over their skis. And Spurs are still the more talented team. So I'm surprised to see Villa, such heavy favorites. I know every week I start screaming fade Spurs, but I backed them last week. They rewarded me with a 1-0 victory, went ahead and cashed that ticket. And I got to say, are the Spurs actually good value here at plus 210 against a team that is definitely fading away from the bright comet tail that they're lighting across the league?
I don't think so. I mean, part of it, I was kind of wondering why the line was what it was. And obviously, I'm not going to get into the complex modeling that that people at Caesars are doing to set their lines. But the basic thing that I'm seeing is I didn't realize that Spurs' away record was so poor this year. So they have 37 points at home, 20 away. And this match is going to be at Villa Park. I'm still not convinced. Like we talked last week, we both hit our Spurs bet. I hit the clean sheet. You hit yours. And a lot of it was like Palace is like playing for draws right now. And so that game was just like a boring blah game with a moment of Harry Kane magic. So I don't really like get any sense that Spurs are turning anything around. Every match before that one, they've been leaking goals like a weird amount for a team that plays a back three, which probably has to do with like fan favorite of the pod, Oliver Skip, still starting in the midfield because there's no other options. So for me, I saw the line. I really wanted to take it. Villa has been more unlucky, I think, lately. Like, it's like the regression has been, they were pretty good and getting also lucky on top of it. This time they've been decent and getting unlucky in their last couple of matches. Like, they created better chances against Wolves. They just lost. Like, that's soccer. Like, that's part of the reason why gambling can be so frustrating. So I'm actually going to go the opposite way. Like, I'm going to take Villa. I'm going to take them on the money line. And because I think the Spurs leaky defense is still leaky, and because Oliver Skip is still pulling on a kit and starting and playing about 80 minutes a match for Spurs, I'm going to go with the Ollie Watkins as a plus 135 as the anytime goal scorer. He has been a shooting machine, Mitrovic style, the last few matches during this Villa hot streak. And if there's going to be a goal in this match, he is by far the most likely player to score it.
Yeah, well, look, I think if the odds were even, then I would lean on the Spurs kind of being bad away from home. But I think with the plus 210, that is enough enticement to get me to play the more talented team here. So I completely respect what you're saying. But given, you know, that spread, then I'm just going to go ahead and play the heavier odds, particularly since they do have Harry Kane, as you mentioned, and he's going to be my prop. Harry Kane plus 110 anytime goal scorer. It's not one that I go to often. It's one that I look at every week and somehow don't pull the trigger and regret it. But that moment of magic was exactly that. Like, the way he hit that pass out to Poro from kind of off the hop, almost of a blind look right on the dot, and then made his perfect run and then headed the ball in. That was an incredible individual goal. I know Poro, it's not individual. It's not like, you know, Maradona running a slalom run 80 yards and punching it in. But the pass and the finish off of the Poro cross created that out of what should have been nothing. And so I'm going to back the captain to score this week. The other one I like, 1-0 Spurs exact score line is plus 850. I think 1-0 Villa is like plus 700 or so. So if you want to play exactly one goal, I don't have the line in front of me, but you're probably gonna get like plus 350, plus 400. And I kind of like that both ways, because I don't think this is going to be a high scoring affair.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I'm not like super confident. I'm actually confident that I'm probably galaxy braining my picks, but I can very easily get to the point where you just got to.
Cool. All right. I like this new Speedy covered in glory. Let's get to the next game.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, buddy. It's that time, Toby.
Well, I threatened them with a one-game suspension last week, and they did come through and win 3-1.
This was the whole problem all season. If you just threaten to kick them off the pod, the players probably all listen. They don't want that to happen.
West London, I'm the problem. I am the problem at Chelsea, as we've long suspected. It's not the other 50 things I can point to. So they're 11th, 42 points, and they're playing Nottingham Forest, 16th at 33 points. Look at Forest getting out of relegation position, out of the drop zone. Good for those lads. This game is Saturday at 10 a.m. Chelsea is minus 200. Forest is plus 550. The draw is plus 310. Chelsea on the adjusted line, minus a goal and a half, is plus 127. Forest is minus 165. I'm just going to get to it because any result here is possible, because Chelsea is absolutely terrible. Give me the Forest plus 550. I know that Chelsea came back and won 3-1. They're not throwing me off the scent. They had the exact same motivation issues. Yes, they got some good finishing. Yes, there was some reversion there. Yes, they had a couple of nice plays. Noni in particular was really dangerous. I wasn't going to watch the match until Mudryk and Noni were starting it on the wings, just as I begged Frank to do last week on the show. Once they did that, then there was a reason to watch, and he was electric on the right. I don't know if his finishing touch will ever kind of catch up with his dribbling skills, but I'm not buying it. He could still start Aubameyang. He could still start Sterling. He could still start God knows who else, the corpse of Azpilicueta. And as a result, plus 550 is just too big for me to turn down, because there's no other line I'm taking, right? Like, there's no way I'm taking Chelsea on the adjusted line. Minus 200 is not worth it on the win. So plus 550 for them to lay another egg when his season's absolutely dead makes sense to me.
Well, the thing is, I understand that you are going to look through Chelsea in a disappointing lens. From the outside, they're a very average team this year. And the crazy part and the reason that football is unforgiving is that the three worst teams right now that are in the Premier League are Everton, Bournemouth, and Nottingham Forest by expected goal differential. Like, and it's a pretty big gap between them and Southampton. But because the world is unfair, all three of those blah teams, including the one that I support in air quotes on a podcast that really works well, are going to end up staying up. I just think Forest is really bad. They've gotten extremely lucky results all year round. I do think that like Chelsea was not very good, but they were also getting unlucky. They're just playing the worst team in the league. Like, I know you think that they have problems. This is the worst team in the Premier League. They have no good players. Like, nothing good about Forest besides the emblem on their crest about them staying up is at all interesting about this team. So I went with the spurt of the Chelsea buddy line. I'm sure you're going to tell me all the ways that I'm going to regret doing this. And then I'm also going with the Chelsea clean sheet win, because Forest have, as being the worst team in the league, have one of the worst attacks in the Premier League. And when that Enzo Conte duo is out there with Kepa's newfound shot stopping, which is the one silver lining in this very dark cloud for you, these are just bets against Forest. Like, if you take away the disappointing, you know, aura of what Chelsea is supposed to be and what the season, like kind of the disaster that it's been for them, they're just an average Premier League team playing at home against Forest, like the worst team in the Premier League. I got to take both those bets. I know you're probably going to tell me I'm going to regret it and you're going to think I'm dumb because you watch that team week in and week out. But this is a anti-Forest. At some point, Forest has to stop getting results like they're not the worst team in the league.
Well, you just said something interesting that you thought all three of those guys are going to stay up. So let's just for 1 second talk relegation odds. I'm sure this is something we'll dive into more in the coming weeks, but you just tipped your hand a little bit. So on relegation, I mean, I think everybody presumes Southampton's going down. I don't even see odds posted for them at this point. They're 6 points behind with only three games to go. Like they're cooked. So the main relegation contenders after that are Leeds at 30 points, Leicester City at 30 points, Everton at 32 points, Forest at 33 points. Leeds is minus 300, Leicester is minus 225, Forest is plus 175, Everton is plus 225. Do you think that the heavy minuses are both going down and Forest and Everton are staying up? That's what I'm getting from your comments.
Yeah, I mean, the Brighton match like for Everton completely flipped their odds. I think they were about like a 3-5 chance of going down before they randomly beat Brighton at the Amex, like 5-1. Their odds
in a game down. That they lost XG by like 3.5 or 2.5. So
well, that's more what XG things love. Yeah, that's one of the things where like single game XG, you always got to take into context. They just were up so quickly and then Brighton had to press for goals that always kind of makes it a little more lopsided. But yeah, their odds at 538 are down to 27% now. Forest are at 37%. Leicester did themselves no favors losing to Fulham. And they are now like the third most likely team to go down at 64%. So I just think at this point, the matchups for Everton, they have Bournemouth and Wolves, I think, are their last two matches. Like they have to get like 1-4 points out of those two after they get trounced by the game we'll talk about, which is City. And that keeps them up. That puts them in. If they got 4 points, I think they would finish on 39. Forest, they just have been so lucky this year. I could see Leicester Leeds getting that trio going down to the wire. But Everton's win against Brighton, like I think saved their season, which I mean, God, they don't deserve it, but I think they're going to stay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but to the point like that you just made, they're the worst team. They don't deserve it. And they're plus 175 right now with three games to go. I actually think that's the best ticket. And the reason I think that's the best ticket is you can't just look at how many points behind are. You got to look at goal differential. Nottingham Forest is minus 31 right now. Leicester City is minus 15. Leeds is minus 25. So unless Leeds or Leicester gets absolutely trounced in these upcoming games, if you're right and Chelsea comes through and wins here and Forest is down to two games and they take 0 points, any win from Leicester City and Leeds puts Forest out.
Yeah.
And you're getting almost 2-1 on that. So if I'm buying a relegation ticket here on Thursday night, May 11th, it's definitely Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the best value. The only thing that would make me shaky is the closest team to, I think, catching them in is Leicester, and then they're going to go Liverpool, Newcastle, and that is going to be a tough road considering they just got spanked by Fulham. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think you're right about the fact that it's really good to keep an eye on the goal differential. I think it might come down to that. I think this is going to be a year where we might be going the last match day being like, they better score goals if they want to stay up.
You see that, Kitchen Breaker World? What was that's professional world-class deflection. I got away from talking to Chelsea just by bringing up relegation, and I didn't have to talk about this crap squad. I took Forest. I'm going the other way from you on the attack part, though, because I'm taking the over. 2.5 at -125. Chelsea's getting some positive reversion. They did create some strong movements. If they start Mudryk and Noni again, I do think they will score. I'm taking Forest just because of the numbers. Obviously, if it was even money, I would be taking Chelsea in this game because I do think they should get at least a 1-2 goal win. But Forest, 9 of the last 12 games have gone over. A lot of times it's because of how many they concede, given that goal differential. But I don't care if it's 3-0 Chelsea or 2-1 or, hell, it could be 1-2 or whatever it takes. I like them getting over the 3, and I think I should have to pay more juice than just the -125 for it.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that you probably didn't tell those kids is that you're just a huge Brennan Johnson guy. So, and that's good. That's a thing you shouldn't share on career day. So
no, I led with it. I told them that.
Were you wearing a Brennan Johnson Forest kit when you came in?
No, I told them that I was actually really inspired by Brennan Johnson. That Brennan Johnson was what really got me going. That I've tried to make things as great as his right boot is, and that's what led me to start the whole company. And so that was a big point of what I talked about, because I get 7-year-olds.
Oh man, clearly you know what they want, and what they want is Brennan Johnson.
Well, what I want right now is a break so we can give some love to Caesars and the rest of our sponsors.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. You must be 21 and older and physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. No one stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF, Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPENY.
We are back, and we are going to do Manchester United versus Wolves. Manchester United is fourth at 63 points, and Wolves is 13th at 40 points. This game is Saturday at 10 a.m. Manchester United is -265. Wolves are +700. The draw is +375. United minus a goal and a half on the adjusted line is +100. Wolves is -130. So, Brett, again, just hopping right to it, I'm taking Wolves here on the adjusted line, believe it or not. Manchester United obviously have a problem at the back. De Gea is back to his gaffy ways. They completely blew that game against West Ham based on De Gea's error and also not being able to generate anywhere near the attack we've seen in recent times. They have Liverpool's hot breath right on their neck right now, and I'm not sure that they're not going to crack. And so you've been on this for a couple of weeks now. I am now joining you, and I'm helped by the numbers as well, because while Wolves got blown out 6-0 by Brighton a couple of weeks ago, they've kept it within 1 in 19 of their last 23 games since the restart after the World Cup, so that is quite the sample. And two of those four were Poole and City. So they've had lots of top half teams that could have blown them out. They've been able to keep it close. They've been able to keep this black magic going for several years now. And if I'm going to get the adjusted line against on Wolves versus a team that absolutely might fade into the past here with Liverpool moving past them into the Champions League, I love that I don't have to pay -130 on it.
Yeah, I couldn't get all the way there with that. Getting there would involve my bet, which is Wolves, the draw. So Wolves would cover, obviously, with the draw. But the reason I didn't want to take the spread is because I just think that this Wolves team with Neto back, I can't believe I'm saying this because I've ripped on them all year. They're more spunky now. Like, the attack was Wolves' problem, right? Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Their attack was really bad. With Neto back, that's their best attacker. Like, that's their guy. And now he's back in the fold. And in the bits and peaches of Wolves' match, which, God, I need to get a life that I'm watching Wolves play. I think he's got enough there. And the one thing I've seen about United is, like, Wolves are going to give up goals. The back line is leaky. If you look who they're starting, it's not surprising that Wolves are going to give up goals. But the De Gea stuff was bad. I mean, I don't know how much of the West Ham match that you watched, but like, not only was the goal that he gave up poor, he had a ball that went out of touch. He played a kick in and basically passed it like immediately to Antonio. It should have been another West Ham goal. Oh, yeah. It was really bad. And so I think with Neto back and with this weird kind of hodgepodge back line and De Gea doing his thing, United is going to be more vulnerable at the back. So as much as I like the spread, the juice for the draw, I just think when you're looking at it at plus 375, like 3-1 that this match doesn't end up tied. I mean, almost 4-1 this match doesn't end up tied. I just think the juice was better. I wanted to take the spread. I just didn't like the juice on it. I just think that this match ends up being a draw. I can't really see Wolves winning. Otherwise, I would have maybe found some value in the money line. But I just think that this is going to be a match where you're going to watch United slip up in some way. They'll probably go up early. United first goal would be a good bet, I think, in this match too. But I just think that they are going to choke this away at the back. I have no faith in that team after watching them against West Ham. The defense looks shaky. De Gea looks like he is just lost back there right now. And they look tired. Like, I don't know if like you thought that watching the West Ham match, they look tired, like, because they only can play like a certain amount of guys that are actually good, and so they look worn out.
Yeah, I don't know what you think that the get a life gap is between the two of you, but if you have time to watch Wolves, I'm obviously watching United versus West Ham in a game that means something, so don't insult me that way. Come on, I got to watch De Gea suck it up live and in living color. I you know how I feel about the draw bets. I mean, I just don't know if it's going to, the coin flip is going to land on its side, you know, that
frequently. I understand.
And you know, as you pointed out, like I still win on your draw. So I'll root for your bet to win. I just love the idea of a range of outcomes that I'm getting expanding to any sort of victory by Manchester United by one or less, but I get what you're doing. I do like it to be tight, though, and in games where I like it to be tight and in games that, as you pointed out, I think United is struggling a little bit and does look a little bit tired, and the other team is Wolves. Both teams to score no, minus 115. I think either one of these could cash. You're getting at Caesars, you're getting 115 on either side of the question. Both teams to score yes, both teams to score no, and I'm taking no every single time this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good bet. I actually looked really hard at the both teams to score bet. And mostly it was just the juice on both those bets where like I couldn't go there. So since I was kind of leaning into the draws a little bit when I picked these, I was looking at the exact score lines because I don't really see Wolves getting to two. That seems hard given that I'm glad Neto's making their attack a little more lively just because they're so terrible to watch without him. But like the 1-1 exact scoreline is plus 850. And to me, when you're talking about betting a draw, and if that's going to be the range of outcome you're looking at with these two teams, it's going to be 0-0, 1-1 or 2-2. And I think 0-0 and 2-2, given what we talk about Wolves attack and then De Gea, 0-0 seems out of it. And then 2-2, given Wolves kind of general incompetence still in attack, seems also pretty unlikely. So you're getting 8.5 to 1 exactly on the 1-1 exact scoreline. When if it does end in a draw, I think that is by far the biggest part of the range. So I just kind of like the value on that bet. I like both your bets. Believe me, if the juice was better, you and I would have been picking the same things. So I just kind of got a little bit more extravagant. Going to go Galaxy branded as always and then be wrong.
Very on brand, Brett. I'll give you that. Very on brand to be extravagant, galaxy brain, and wrong. That is kind of your trifecta.
I know. I'm perfect.
All right. Let us get to a not in the face special. Everton, they're standing at 17th at 32 points, and they are taking on City, a runaway freight train of a club, first of the table at 82nd points. Though they played a very interesting midweek game, and they got another one coming up. This game is Sunday at 9 a.m. City is minus 295. Everton is plus 800. The draw is plus 390. City minus 1.5 is minus 105, and Everton is minus 125. So, Brett, looking at the odds here, Everton gets one freakish 5-1 win over Brighton, where, as I mentioned earlier, they're beaten soundly by XG, and suddenly they're getting comparative respect versus other relegation contenders against the juggernaut City. Like, I don't get this. Like, City minus 2.5 against other teams around Everton in the table would also be around minus 105. So why the one goal buffer for Everton in this match versus what we've seen on lines for City versus, you know, the Southamptons, Leicester, and Leeds of the world?
I honestly don't know. I was going to text you before the match and was like, hey, did Caesars have this line right? Is there a typo in here? I don't understand it. I do think that this seems like an overreaction to the type of performance they put in against Brighton. But Everton's been pretty bad otherwise. Like, they have not played well.
I mentioned they're 17th. They have 32 points. They've been bad.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, underlying numbers too, like, even if you don't go by raw table numbers, like, this hasn't been like an unlucky Everton team in any stretch of the imagination. Like, they have just been bad. I thought Sean Dyche would maybe clean up some of the stuff from Lampard, and I guess he did a little on the margins, but like, they've been pretty bad. And like, look, their attacking triumphant is Dwight McNeil, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who may or may not ever last an entire match, and Alex Iwobi. Like, how is that going to threaten City? I mean, I, one of the bandwagons I have been on, which Champions League, thank you for validating me, is Ederson is a problem. So, but I still don't see it where it's just going to be a thing that matters. I think you got to take the minus 105 at the minus 1.5 and just run. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I would love to talk to the people that do the modeling and be like, how did you get this number? They're clearly not going to tell us, but that would be a fun conversation to have, how that wound up there. Cause I legitimately had to check it like 4 times to be like, am I really looking at it? Is it really minus 105?
Yeah, it looked, I mean, like, they had a big game, obviously, against Madrid in the midweek, and that wasn't factored in the line makers last week. So I don't know if they're factoring in the return of the tie on Wednesday. I mean, I just don't know, but that's going to be a fascinating game on Wednesday. I guess there's a small chance they look past Everton and get to that, but I think it's only a small chance when they clearly are, like, in the driver's seat of the title race. And I don't think they're giving up that death grip anytime soon. And as we always point out, like, it almost doesn't matter who they play because all their players are so talented. All of a sudden, Rico Lewis is stepping into this like inverted midfielder role and slipping through passes like he's TAA. It was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I mean, Everton also lost Seamus Coleman, who it's crazy that we're still talking about like Seamus Coleman, like he's an important cog in Everton, but he really was. And like, Nathan Patterson needed a ton of help to deal with Matoma. And when Sally March came on, like, the scoreline was definitely flattering. I mean, we're going to talk about Brighton a little bit, and there's definitely was an issue with Brighton, how Brighton set up in that match. But like, Everton is still, their attack is still bad. Calvert-Lewin being back helps, but they definitely weren't as good as they looked against Brighton. And City's still City. Like, it's just kind of bizarre. And with the fact that I know there's going to be goals in this match because it's Everton, and Yuri Mina has been seen as a solution to Michael Keane. There's another reason. How is this minus 105? But the first goal scorer, I think Mahrez is probably going to get rotated in. When Sully March came on in the Brighton game, he lived in the penalty box on that from that right side. And that's where Mahrez is going to play when he probably gets rotated in because Sol has played a bunch of matches in a row. So if Mahrez is there, that first goal score at plus 700, I just think he's going to get a ton of touches in the area. Obviously, it's sort of dangerous to bet against Haaland scoring like any goal for City because he scores all their goals. But yeah, that seems like a good one, just given how weak that left side of their defense has been. And I mean, Mahrez is not like a slouch. I mean, he's getting up there in years, but like, his XG numbers are still pretty good. He takes a lot of shots when he plays. Like, Everton's going to sit back and, you know, kind of let City dictate. And Mahrez loves to just cut inside on that left foot and let loose. So I like that plus 700 number for him to be the first goal scorer.
Well, it was really fun to watch them play Leeds last week because, you know, shout out to Big Sam for getting his team extremely well drilled already because they kept doing the exact same thing. And then Gundogan would run to the exact same spot and Mahrez would play the exact same pass and he would have the exact same open pass, open shot on the goal. So like Leeds was really disciplined. They did not ever adjust to the most obvious thing that was going to keep happening over and over again. So good job, Sam. And like, God bless that De Bruyne pass. At the point you pass in the 25th minute, like the twisting knockdown to Haaland, like I know Haaland like missed it wide, but even though he missed, we should not sleep on the artistry of the pass. That was like extraterrestrial, the way De Bruyne twisted his body and then knocked it perfectly into Haaland's path.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so crazy that I was out today with a couple of friends that I've been in town with here, and we were talking about that pass on a shot that Haaland missed. We were talking about the De Bruyne pass that led to it. Like that is, I hope he just never gets bad. Can he play till he's 50? I don't care who City is funded by. Like that dude is magic. Like just let him be good for as long as we can enjoy it.
Completely agree. President of the De Bruyne fan club over here.
Definitely. He is on your Mount Rushmore for sure. Right next to Lukaku.
Unless it's a mountain of mashed potatoes, Lukaku's not interested. I guess I still need to give my prop. I'm making my same portfolio bet because it keeps hitting for me. And until it stops hitting, I'm just going to keep making it. Manchester City wins, both teams score, plus 190. Week after week, I make this bet. Week after week, you say, ha, Everton's attack, they have nothing there. Leeds attack, they have nothing there. Fill in the blank. Southampton, Forest, they have nothing there. And somehow, every single week, City.
It's not somehow though. It's because Ederson plays. Because we saw it in the one match that Ortega played, the clean sheet hit against West Ham.
There you go. But Ederson's going to be between Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm getting plus 190 just for Everton to get some sort of consolation goal at one time. Even if they have negative XG, I think they would get a goal just the way this is going right now. So love it at plus 190. Happy to make it week after week until it turns negative for me. All right, we got to get in our second break. Great pace we got going here today, Brett. We're going to save people about a half hour of our nonsense. So.
This is like a Jesse Marsh pressing system going on right now. We're good.
So let's give them the break. Two more games, 5 points, and then we're out. We are back, and we are back with what is definitely the best game of this sorry slate. We have Arsenal second. With 81 points versus Brighton, seventh with 55 points. This game is Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Arsenal is minus 135. Brighton is plus 325. The draw is plus 295. Arsenal minus half a goal is minus 130. And our friends at Caesars have Brighton at plus 100. So, Brett, I'm going to go ahead and let you go first because I'm going to tell you right now the five choices here, Arsenal money line, Brighton money line, draw, Arsenal minus half a goal, or Brighton plus half a goal. At one point, I talked myself into all five. So let's go ahead and see where you're at since you obviously have more clarity than I do.
Yeah, I went with the Arsenal minus 135 like pretty much right away. And the reason being is I have never had one match, and anybody who's unfortunate to follow me on Twitter probably saw me go off about this because it was that important that I was like, I actually want to tweet about this, which should never be a thing that should enter anybody's mind. But Roberto De Zerbi has been a guy that I've thought was a big difference maker. I've enjoyed how they played. When they lost against Forest, he went with this weird kooky thing where Pascal Gross was playing right back. Then they play United. And Caicedo, because of the threat of Rashford, was in right back. And Chelsea legend Billy Gilmore was actually playing the six. Gross didn't even play. Then they get to Everton. Gross is back at right back. Do you want to take a guess how three of the five goals came to be in that Everton match? Because there was a perfect time where I almost took a video of it to send to some buddies, where you just see Dwight McNeil. Dwight McNeil, okay, Dwight McNeil, of all people, leave Pascal Gross in the dust in transition as he runs in and plays the ball back or runs into the box pretty much on check. It was so mind-boggling to me that Deserby comes out of that half where Everton just completely exploits the area where Gross is or should have been, makes four changes, and none of them are removing Gross right back.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre, and it was the weirdest act of manager negligence that I think I've seen in a long time, which is really saying something given the number of managers that we've talked about on here.
Do I have to remind you who Frank Lampard has been starting for Chelsea?
That was implied in what I was trying to say. Okay. We have talked about playing Lampard, and I'm saying that this is the biggest act of manager negligence that I've seen. So it makes me really concerned. Like it was the one thing you should never overreact to one match, but it was so weird and glaring, and it might cost him a spot in Europa, which would be such an incredible accomplishment for a team with Brighton's payroll and stature in the league. And he just makes the mistake. And I just don't really see that he's connecting the dots. So they're still without Lamptey and they're still without Joel Veltman. So we may see Gross at right back again. And if that's the case, I am all Arsenal all the way. I am going to sell everything that I own and find ways to bet all that money everywhere, because I just think that that is going to be such a massive mistake. If it was a mistake against Dwight McNeil, what do you think Martinelli and Saka are going to do to that?
Well, I was about to say, I mean, if he's that egregious, as you were saying, like, isn't all the Martinelli props like everything we should play this
week? Yeah, and so the prop that I do have is Martinelli to score two or more is plus 1,000. And he will be the guy either running at Gross or running in behind the open space where Gross should be as he's pushed up the field and Brighton would have to transition back. So, yeah. And we also know that we talked about Sully March when he came on and against Everton. So, I mean, one of the things is when you look at the left side, we're talking about Iwobi. I'm thinking the wrong team right now. When we're talking about Iwobi on Everton, he had a bunch of passes into the penalty area of that match. It's not like Alex Iwobi is a special player. Like, he's Alex Iwobi. He's been around forever. I don't even know where he's going to go if Everton got relegated. And now you have Saka on that side, who we know is a good creative threat. Like, this just seems set up for just Brighton to just get throttled. And it's going to be Martinelli that I think is going to be the prime beneficiary of that.
Yeah. Well, I took the draw out of it because Brighton is playing these like bangers of matches, and this is going to be a really entertaining match, I believe. And because, you know, there's so much variance in the number of goals that are scoring, like there's just not that many times it ends on a draw. And so once you take the draw out, that means the double chance is no good. And so then you're just playing the money line, Arsenal versus Brighton. I was very tempted to take the Seagulls at plus 325. But that's disrespectful to the Gunners. They showed up against Newcastle. I know it was closer to even on XG, and Newcastle hit the pipes a couple of times. But I thought Arsenal on the whole was the better team in that match, even though it was a kind of a heavyweight clash. And coming off of that game, their campaign long way that they've stayed inside of City and led most of it, or at least still keeping it close, and might take this to the final match day, or at least the last couple of match days, I'm going to pay them my respect. So they'll only have to give up a little bit of juice on the money line at minus 135 is eventually where I went. And then in terms of props, since you already gave yours, there's one thing I seem to know in this world right now, and it ain't how to run a podcast network. It ain't how to raise kids. It ain't how to do any of these other things. It's how to make corner bets. Hit another one last week, Brett. Hit another one. I am absolutely on
the
fire.
The king of the corner. Toby
Bradley. I am really feeling myself right now. I'm really feeling myself on corner bets, and I'm going full Icarus right now. I'm doing something that is almost impossible to predict. It doesn't even have that good of a payoff, but that's just how hot I feel. It is my response to like our race to 10 bets that Sal does. I am doing a race to three corners. A race to three corners. First team to hit three, and I am taking Brighton at plus 160. They had 15 corners last week. They had, seven or eight before that. I've hit them earlier this year, famously, on an adjusted corner bet, just on their side versus United. They don't seem to know any other way to play besides the front foot. I think it's going to be open. I think they're going to be attacking. I think they're going to try to get the first goal. And so as such, to get plus 160 just to get the first three corners, yes, it's somewhat luck. But if it's luck and both things can happen, give me the plus 160 odds. So I'm doing it here, and I'm doing it in my five pint later, Brett. What say you?
I mean, you're the king of the corner. What am I supposed to say? Why would I ever attack the crown? I'm not dumb enough to do that.
I think you are exactly dumb enough to do that, but I appreciate you not doing it here.
Oh, Toby, you're such a morale booster.
Well, if I was a morale booster, I should head over to Leicester City because they definitely need it. This team sucks. They are 18th and they're at 30 points trying to fight off the drop. And they're going against an ascendant Liverpool team, fifth at 62 points. 1 point out of the Champions League's positions, even though both Newcastle and United do have a game in hand on them. I got to get the odds, don't I? This game is Monday at 3 p.m. Liverpool's minus 175, Leicester's plus 410, the draw is plus 340. I'm all flustered from that corner bet. Liverpool minus half a goal is minus 175, Leicester is plus 135. So, Brett, Leicester has only won one of their last 14 games. So a team that has won one of the last 14 games playing against a team that is formerly one of the best teams in the world, that is absolutely ascendant now, that is threatening, you know, regain their perch as one of the, you know, 10 best teams around the globe. There's no way I could take Leicester. There's no way. So it's just a matter of whether I just pull up or not. But then you look at the numbers, and since they beat Manchester United 7-0 in an absolute thrashing, they played 11 games, and they've only won one of those games by more than one goal. So while they've won six on the bounce, only one of those was by more than one. It's consistent one-goal victories. So it just wasn't worth it to me to juice the line up here. So I'm going to take them at the minus 175. I know it's not sexy, and I'm just going to look to pair it with something else in order to get a better line.
Yeah, I think that's the way to play it. I'm really curious to see how Leicester comes out, because that loss to Fulham put them as one of the favorites to get relegated. That is a tough loss to swallow. Basically, when the ghost of Willian scores twice against you, your morale can't be great. So I'm actually wondering if, like, because, you know, the thing that we see with Leicester too is, like, the names are still there. Like, even though we know Vardy's on the downside, it's Madison, it's Tillemans, and Didi. You know, there's talent, like, in that roster. Harvey Barnes, you may have an opinion on him that's better than mine, but he exists in, like, a way that some people tell me he's good. I just think that there is something broken, and I think the loss to Fulham could have just completely cracked their spine here. So I wasn't going to adjust it. I took the same thing as you. I'm going to eat the juice on that. The thing that I went to afterwards is that Liverpool still plays pretty open games. And the one thing that Leicester has shown they can do, even in these matches, is they can still score goals. So the Liverpool to win and both to score gave me a plus 180 number. And that's the one I landed on. It's actually one of my favorite bets of the week. We'll talk about it probably in the five pint here in a second. But that seems like the best one to me. I don't see ways in which Leicester is going to bounce back from that Fulham loss. And Liverpool, like you said, they're ascendant. They're playing really well. I mean, this just seems like it's going to be a kind of a beat down here. There's definitely going to be goals on both sides.
I have the exact same thing. So I also wrote down plus 180, pool to win, both teams to score. Leicester is definitely not playing, you know, kind of scoreless, boring games as giving up two goals to Willian proves in a 5-3 kind of banger of a match. They're similar to Leeds in that regard, but I obviously think Liverpool's going to win. So to take Liverpool from minus 175 to plus 180, just to think Leicester will get on the board once, is a great way to adjust the number. The only other thing that I wrote down was pool to win first half is plus 100. So they've been doing a good job of getting out early, being on the attacking foot, and Leicester certainly has not been doing a good job of not conceding in the first half. So I like getting the plus 100 instead of the minus 175 for Poole to be ahead at the break.
Yeah, and the one thing I have to say too is that I'm just really glad that of all the proclamations you've thrown out, you know, if Chelsea loses, we're not going to talk about them, that you never said the phrase, if Willian scores twice this year, we're going to rename the podcast. So we dodged a bullet big time there.
Yeah, no, I mean, he might get upgraded. I don't know what is it? Instead of a ghost of Willian, like Willian, citizen of purgatory? Like, is he somewhere between the two lives at this point?
Willian's Risen Corpse podcast.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Easter Willian. So we just have the 5 pint left, Brett. We got through the show in record time. And right. Last week, I edged you just slightly. I think it was 5.8 to 5.2. So both turned a slight profit. Never turned down a week or have more money to end the week than you started with. But we didn't, neither of us hit it big. So I'm hoping that you hit it big this week since you are currently on a vacation without overhead lights, it would appear. It's just gotten darker and darker, and all of a sudden you're
I'm used to sadness. Arizona sunshine being out a little bit longer than it is in Redondo. So
holy heck.
Did not plan for this.
Yeah. An extra $20, pal. You can get a room with lights. So for my 5 pint, I am going with the following 5 bets. Chelsea Forest over 2.5, -125. Spurs to win, +210, and a rare Spurs 5 pint appearance for me. Manchester City, -1.5 at -105. Wolves, +1.5 at -130. And then Brighton, race to 3 corners. If I say it, you know it's going in the 5 pint, +160.
Yeah, mine are going to be pretty consolidated this week. I liked 2 bets a lot, and 1 bet I just had to take. So I'm taking Liverpool in both to score for +180 at 2 pints. City -1.5 at -105 for 2 pints. And then Martinelli +1,000, 2 or more goals. Bring me the bread.
The high variant style is back. But if that Liverpool one hits, you're profitable. And then the other two are kind of free ride. So
yeah,
the Liverpool one's a great one. I mean, both of us wrote it down independently and then you put 2 pints on it. So that's as close as we come to like a full throated endorsement on this show.
Yeah. And which of course means that Leicester will win 1-0.
Of course. No, fade covered in glory is the new fade Spurs. All right. Well, let's wrap it up early. Let's get you back on your vacation. Let's get an umbrella drink in your hand and something that might have some overhead lights in your near future. Everybody else, you go out and have some fun. Enjoy this match week. And we'll be back next week with our usual interchange of horrible advice backed by expert analysis. Take care, everyone.
Take care, everybody.